This is the painting that I showed to the children. I believe you have seen many other versions of this painting. Quite inspiring, and at the same time, quite troubling. Even right after the event of Jesus Christ, even in the time it was only 70 AD, people started to argue each other about either it actually happened or not. And probably 1930 years later, we still do that. But at the same time, if you really read these first Christians and their stories, you may be surprised that how many people actually followed the way of Jesus, who saw him doing miracles. How many among them actually were willing to die to believe in Jesus after seeing all that he was doing for 3 years? How many? Very a few. Less than five, probably. Now, time passes 200 years later when the Roman Empire sees this Christianity as a threat. And they capture them, they torture them, they kill them. Unless they turn around. And how many people are willing to die for that in this age? Who hasn't seen Jesus? Who hasn't met him? A lot. So, definitely, there's something about having faith in God, and there also is something about having actual experience with our body. Seeing, we often say, seeing is believing, but when it matters, having faith in God, seeing may not be believing. Because that was the problem. Now, 2,000 years later, we are still reading this message, this story, and we're inspired by it. What inspires you then? I was just telling children that God came on earth. Now, we're not talking about God like gods in Olympus, or gods like we, you know, read in the legend and mythology. So, what does that mean? As far as I know, there's only one, the most important ingredient of life that makes us all feel living. You know what that is? You know, it's love. Even if I have all the money in the whole world, but if nobody loves me, what would happen to me? There's a story about Howard Hughes. Or many like him. Even if you are the king, emperor of the whole world, but you believe nobody loves you, what happened to your mind? Yes. So love is something that is the most important. It's not just that it's chemistry or the strong feelings or emotions. Love is deeper than that. It deeply touches our heart and mind, our being, and make us to be alive. In a way, all that we do in this life, we try to be loved by other people. Who among us is willingly, do things that will make the people hate you? You do things, you make a mistake, and it turns out that that's what hurt people, so people don't like you. So, why am I saying all this? We believe God is love. God came on earth in human form. One of the ways to understand, believe, feel this great event is love actually being manifested in actual realistic form that can be felt, seen, and touched by us. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's my first talk. You know, once upon a time, this guy named Napoleon says that there's nothing is impossible. In a way, that has truth in it, and also that has arrogance in it. In a way, we know that there are a lot of things that are not possible. But at the same time, it is not about what is impossible or possible. It is about how we feel certain things possible and certain things not possible, and more importantly, why. Because sometimes we make our self-justification and saying, hey, that's not possible, so I shouldn't do anything about it. Feels free, because I'm not doing something that's not possible, so... But if you really look at that, that's just probably a way of self-justification, of being lazy or not willing to do it. But at the same time, we sometimes engage in something that's actually impossible and drag myself and all the family and put everybody in the misery. I mean, you see, you meet those people too. Why is that? There's something in human nature that we want to achieve something. Essentially speaking, we all want to achieve something in this life. There are two things that we cannot avoid but to seek for. One is love. We all want to be loved. You know, they're saying that bad attention is better than no attention. This is very typical of, actually, children growing up a dysfunctional family. I have had a few of those friends when I was in teenage life, and when I actually get into their heart, you know, all those thorny, defensive guard down, and I actually become their friend. What they're trying to do is get their attention of their parents, who are constantly avoiding or ignoring them. So when they make those troubles, parents has to come, police has to come, and teachers has to pay attention to them. That's better than no attention. And another one we cannot avoid but to seek is meaning. What's meaning of my life? What does it have to do with it? What's the big picture here? There are six billion people living in this planet. What am I? Am I one out of 6 billion? Or am I more important than others? Am I less important than others? We think a lot of those things. And Swedenborg's explanation in all this context is because we are designed, we're created to do so. We are, in a way, love-seeking, meaning-making, finding beings and machines, in a way, by God's creation. You have something that makes a part, that makes us human being, something that Swedenborg defines as will. That's vessel of love. If love is not coming into it, we feel empty. We have another vessel called understanding, and that's for truth. So meaning is not coming into us, so we feel empty. So when we feel empty inside, we seek out. And a lot of times, the mistakes we often make is we try to fill that emptiness by doing something physical, something that is materialistic, such as buying something, or doing something, or sometimes doing something that's not that good. Believing that maybe my heart will be filled with it. And as probably you all know, that doesn't happen that way. And Advent is kind of telling you that story. In a very simple, strange, and inspiring way. There was a virgin, 16 years old, never, in a way, seen a man. Let's put it that way. angel visits her in one evening saying, you'll have a child. Well, that's a death sentence to her, if you know the Jewish tradition at the time. Okay, if Joseph were to accuse her, she'll be stoned to death. She's shocked, but she accepted. And Joseph accepted, and baby is born. And if you enter seminary, one of the first questions you get to ask or get to be asked in the class called Christology, it's a study of Christ. You know, we're studying about Messiah or Messiahship. Do you believe Jesus was actually born that way? How can you explain? And then we all try to explain, like, maybe it's this way it's possible, maybe it could have been done that way, or this way, or some people may say, no, I don't believe it. Well, is that the point, though? This is something that happened, let's say, 2,000 years ago, as work of God. As work of God. So, if you really look into this, if you were to able to understand everything and were able to explain everything that God has done, what are you claiming to be? God. Yes. Are we gods? It's not. I'm not trying to say about blind or just, you know, believe because God says, but at the same time, there's another danger of trying to explain everything that is done by God in terms of our rationality and our own little brain and saying, oh, it makes sense, it should be true. It doesn't make sense, so we just disregard it. In a way, God kind of, I believe God really has a great sense of humor. And God really loves us, but at the same time, God really loves to confuse us. Because if you know, if God were to choose, it didn't have to happen this way. Right? In a way, if you really read all the prophecy, how many prophecies in the Old Testament actually happened exactly the way it has been prophesied? Not many. Really few. Like genealogy I was talking about last Sunday, but prophecy was Jesus will be born of David's descendant. Well, was Mary David's descendant? Most likely, no. There are a few scholars arguing that she has to be. It's not she is, but they are saying she must. Because if you're believing the Bible literally, if she's not, there's a huge problem. Mary most likely a Levite because she was a cousin to Elizabeth and Levites usually marry each other. Joseph, on the other hand, was Judite. But Jesus has nothing to do with Joseph. And legal adopting son may have meaning, but not in this line of David. We're talking about bloodline. Okay? And they're very specific about bloodline, especially the father's line. So, one twist, and then there's another. Say, okay, it's a virgin now. It's a virgin birth. So what God is doing with this story is that please don't take it literally. Try not to make anything that is, in a way, on your own way of explaining it. But try to open your heart and see what's actually happening. If we now open our hearts up big and huge, imagine that there is God who created the whole universe. I had just a little chat with the two Korean leaders. They are leaders of their own little church in South Korea. They are taking classes with me almost every Wednesday by Skype. So, one of the things we talked about was a person was saying, asking me, so if we take all the image and concepts of all the religion on earth and combine them together, are we close to see the real image of God? And I said, not really. If you're really talking about God who created the whole universe, if you know how many stars in the universe, you have to visit every single earth in the universe and talk to them about their image of God and combine them all together. Then you may have a glimpse of God. Literally, how many earths are we talking about that may possibly in this whole universe? Are we thinking that we're the only one? Nowadays, well, there's a huge question about that absolute truth. A lot of, you know, for a long time, our ancestors believed that we're the only intellectual beings in this whole universe. Because, why? Earth is the center. We are the center. Everything else goes around us. And that just sounds like my daughter, Joanne. She is becoming 2, 3 this coming February. Everything has to be around her. She is the center of the universe. Even this morning, she really bugs her brother. She knows that if she cries and calls his name, mom or dad comes and say to Roy, "What did you do?" And Roy says, "I didn't do anything." But now we figure, this morning we decided to give her hard time instead of Roy. She cried from home all the way to the church. When she discovered, really, that it's not going to work, she's fine. How amazing is this? And are we trying to say that we're really far from being like Joanne? You know, there is Joanne in me. I can see that. That I like the world to be around me. Everything goes the way that I like it to be. Everybody do exactly the way I picture them to be. Isn't that great? What am I doing here? It's my fantasy. In the name of love, people have been hurting each other. In the name of love, people have been pushing each other, forcing each other, to the point that there's no love left, but just selfish ones. This baby, this miracle baby, Jesus Christ, in a way, she is born to die. But let's rephrase it. He's born to show us what it really means to have selfless love. To show us that a life of selfless person, life of person who is giving and sharing and loving, in the time when we all lost ability to love for good. Joanne, she says she loves us. But whenever we cross over her boundary, what happens? Oh, she shows us hell. Make sure that we heard her, we feel her, and demand that we give it to her. And honestly, we're not winning the battle all the time. We're humans, right? She has a huge voice, and she can cry hours. But sometimes we just have to give it up. Okay, here you go. But sometimes we try. But probably it is true that Joanne loves us. The thing is that she doesn't know what that means. Or does she really know that what really it means to say, "I love you"? So when her need comes upon her, everything else disappears. She has to have that. My need comes first. In a way, that's the way I look at Jesus came to save us from our sins. I'm an Asian, so sin to me has different meaning than how Western world will develop the theology about sins and damnations. Sin to me is a condition in which it's like a yoke in a Buddhistic, Hinduistic concept. It's a yoke, self-created yoke that bounds you, to a certain reality that I created. And I believe I cannot get out. So I said, it is impossible to get out of it. And probably it is impossible because I created it. Only way to get out is I fight against myself. But how can I fight against myself while being I am who I am? This love of God shows us a way to get out of it. And the message of Christ is amazingly simple, and this beautiful prophecy in Isaiah, whenever I read it, I almost cry. I really don't cry much, but I almost cry. That means it's beautiful. Look at this prophecy. When this happens, in a way of saying, the whole world will somehow overcome their innate instinct. Let's say those animals who are supposed to eat each other will not eat each other. We're saying we'll all overcome something that is innately troubling us and be peaceful and good with each other by the power and presence of God. And that is power of love. And as I'm trying to teach my little daughter, loving takes patience, yielding, and also what? Giving without condition. You give, that's it. You're not giving because of this, or you expect because of that, no, you just give with joy and delight. In a way, loving others, that's why it says in the teaching of Christ, you love others as yourself. I've been struggling with that teaching ever since I joined the seminary. That's almost 20 years ago. I'm still struggling with it. To be all due honesty, I am not able to do that yet. I'm trying. But often, time to time, I have to find myself loving myself more than others. I see my wife's need with clear clarity, but from time to time, I find myself pushing my needs before hers. It happens. And I admit, and I go and I pray, but I don't want to say it's impossible. I refuse to say it is impossible to love others as myself. That is my hope in God. And I wish you have the same hope in you, that you can love others as yourself. As we light this candle of hope, may this hope illuminate your heart and minds. In God's name, amen. Amen.